don't know about you, as I was listening to the testimony and then Pastor talking about it, about how important it is to know that you are saved. And I said, wow, I don't believe in coincidences, but guess what my message is tonight? I'm like, this just, God just works things out. And the other day, one of my kids' caregivers, a respite caregiver, and she's been going to church for quite a while now, the other church, I would say 20 plus years. And then the other day, she asked me a question. You mind you, 20 plus years of being a Christian, and going to a church that I know, and the question was, she said, I wonder, what happens to saved people when they die? And I'm like, I was just speechless. And I said, she said, yeah, what happens to, you know, since Abraham's, what, you know, we don't go to Abraham's bosom anymore, so where do we go? And I'm like, wow, what do you learn? That, nothing to, trying to talk bad about. But it just tells you that it's not how long you've been a Christian. Sometimes, you know, many churches have failed to teach Christians the Bible. That's what's lacking in many Christians today. So what I'm going to do tonight, I'm going to draw some things and I'm going to give you some verses, and then, and hopefully, God willing, we'll shed some light into some of the questions that are important to be answered. John chapter 3, let's all stand. John chapter 3, this is our passage for tonight. A mix of Bible study, a little bit of preaching, a little bit of devotion, all in one. Amen. John chapter 3. Here's a story of Nicodemus. How many of you remember Nicodemus? Amen. Okay, John chapter 3. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. And here's what Jesus Christ said. Jesus answered. It's interesting. He didn't even ask a question, but the Lord Jesus Christ already knew the question that he didn't ask. You see that? But Jesus Christ answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Another verse I want to read with you in 1 Thessalonians. I'm going to refer to this one in a little bit. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23. Here's what the Bible says. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray God, your whole spirit, you see that? And soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. You and I have three parts. They're not the same. They're three separate parts, but all in one. And that's what we're going to look at tonight. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your words. God, we ask that you be our teacher tonight. Speak through your words. May you give us understanding, wisdom. And Lord, if there's anyone here tonight who's still not sure about their destiny, and that destiny I'm talking about is not where we're going after the service, but the most important destiny, that is where we're going after we die. Because when it comes down to it, that's really what matters. Lord, that person, I pray, may you please convict their heart and open their eyes and provide guidance. May tonight be the night that person will make a decision to choose Christ. And if we have Christians here tonight who still don't understand this matter, this very basic but a very important doctrine, I pray, Lord, that they may also be enlightened. They may grow in the knowledge of the Lord and may grow as babes into a mature Christians fit for your use. Again, we thank you. May you be glorified, magnifying the Lord Jesus Christ in our midst. Lift him up tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. May you be seated. Here, there was a man named the man of the Pharisees. You know the story. You know, when you hear the word Nicodemus, it's this guy who secretly saw the Lord Jesus Christ. I wonder why it was secret. Mind you, the position of this person, he's not just a nobody. If you look in here, he's not a nobody person. In fact, the Bible here is saying he is a ruler. He's a ruler of the Jews. So you might think that a ruler of a Jew is someone who is confident, someone who is bold, and someone who's even, borderline arrogant, proud of their position. And maybe because it's based on the knowledge of the person. Many times, many of the rulers, they know quite a bit. They're very influential. A lot of them are very wealthy. Come from a wealthy family, very influential family. Maybe they're just very educated. But in this very instance, you see here Nicodemus, he snuck up. He said, you know what? I am going to see what's going on with this man named Jesus. And the reason why I said he was kind of sneaky a little bit, because you see the time, the period of time of the day when he approached Jesus Christ, it was at night. Why not during the day? You know that there's a lot of people who are really deep in their hearts. They're seeking for God. They're looking for truths, and they know what is right and what is wrong, but because of what other people have to say, they kind of live secretly. They don't want to be, they don't want to admit that, yep, I think it's right. I agree with what that preacher is saying. I agree what that Bible is saying. I know there's some truth in that, but they don't want to admit it in the open. It's kind of like Christians, right? It's kind of like Christians. When we're here in the church, we're just bold and say amen and happy to be here. Blessed be the Lord God and praise the Lord. And you know, God bless you, brother. God bless you, sister. You know, we're just so happy to be here. But wait outside. What happens outside? Then all of a sudden, we kind of turn into something else. We call it the Nicodemus Christians. We become very secretive about our Christianity. Okay? So here, Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews, was a little sneaky, approached Jesus Christ at night. I figured he didn't want anybody to see him. As a ruler, he didn't want anyone to see him going to a man called Jesus Christ, who's been talked about and degraded. And now I'm pretty sure a lot of the rulers, the Pharisees and the teachers, they're saying, you know what? Stay away from this man called Jesus Christ, or Jesus. You better not be seen with him. And that's why he did this. But you know, he had to do it though, because he knew there was something good about this man. There was something right about this person named Jesus. He had to find out for himself. He had to find out for himself. But he said here, thou art a teacher. I know you're from God, because you've been saying the right things. Your message has been good. Your messages have had positive impact on the people. So I know God is using you. But you know, the Lord Jesus Christ looked past the praise, the attaboy that Nicodemus is giving him. Nicodemus saying, you know, I know, you know, Master Jesus, I know you're a good man, because I've seen you speak and I've seen you, you know, giving him a little bit of a, you're a good guy, you're a good person type of praise, you know. But you know, the Lord Jesus Christ could see right through his words and all the way to his heart. You know what the Lord Jesus Christ saw? He said, you're not really saying all these things. You really are here because you need something. You see that? You know what? All these things that you're saying, I'm a good person, you know, or my messages are positive. You know, I know you came because you need something. You want something from me. And yeah, I know exactly what that is. You know, the Lord Jesus Christ knows exactly what you and I need. You may say, Brother George, you know, I'm going through a lot. I got all these issues at work, at home. You know, my problems are so big. My kids have health issues. You know, I have kids who are rebellious. My work, I'm having a hard time at work. What have you? It's just big. I don't know what to do. I have news for you. The Lord Jesus Christ knows exactly what you're going through. And not only that, he knows exactly what you're going through. And Brother Jose was sharing a very powerful testimony. You know, Brother Jose, let me tell you, the Lord knows. And he has the answer to what it is you need. Your daughter. Same thing with all of us. And he went right straight to what Nicodemus needed at that point. He said, here's what you need, Nicodemus. I'm not going to go around the bush. I'm going to go straight to the heart of the problem. Here's what he said. Verily, verily, that means truly, indeed, absolutely, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. You know, Christians, and for you who are pretending to be Christians still, you know your greatest need is to be born again. I know this is a very basic message, but based on the testimony, based on the questions that were asked of me the other day, coming from a Christian who's been a Christian for quite some time, it goes back to the very basic truths. That is, where am I going to go? What happens to me when I die? That is the bottom line. Oh yeah, you can say, I have accomplished this many things in life. I have retired as this rank, whatever it is. My children have accomplished this, whatever education and degree. They have a good job. I'm accomplished. But you know, the bottom line is you have to be able to answer this very, very basic question. Are you born again? Have you been born again? And that question, I want to explain a little bit more using the words of God, because that's, for some reason, that is still not clear in the eyes of even Christians, in so many people. When people say, you know, what is that? What does that mean by being born again? Because the Lord Jesus Christ said here, except a man be born again. I grew up in the Philippines, and there's a lot of people there. They call themselves born again Christians. I didn't understand what they were they meant. Born again, well, it means you are separated from Catholic Church. Right? Oh, I'm born again now, so I don't go to the Catholic Church anymore. No mass for me. Is that what it really means by being born again? But you look here, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. So this being born again then is associated with, or has something to do with, whether or not you can enter the kingdom of God. Those two things are very much related. And since we say that the bottom line is, where are you going to go when you die? That is probably the most important question that you and I have to answer. And the Lord said, the answer is, you ought to be born again. So let's take a look at what that means. In verse 4, Nicodemus said unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time, in verse 4, into his mother's womb and be born? You see, Nicodemus at first, he didn't understand what the Lord Jesus Christ was saying. Just like some Christians today, probably many Christians still today, don't quite understand what that really means. They just know that they're Christians. They just know that they're born again. But what does that really mean? The Lord said in verse 5, Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. So here, we're starting to see two things. The Bible says here, there is water and there is a spirit. So two things. Here, the Lord Jesus Christ said, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. So the Lord said, you need to have these two things in order to enter the kingdom of God. These two things are what you and I need.
Now, you may say, that's still confusing. What water are you talking about? You know, that's still a little confusing. So let's read on a little bit more. Look at verse 6. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. So in other words, the Lord Jesus Christ said, let me explain to you what these two things mean. Since, you know, all right, water, spirit, okay, let's elaborate a little bit more. Let's go to the Word of God. The Lord Jesus Christ explains it even more. He said that this water means, what did you read in verse 6? Flesh. And this spirit means spirit. Okay. Now starting to come to light. Of course, a man, in order for a man to be born again, you have to be born into this world. Don't you agree? In order for you to, you have to be alive, you have to be born into this world. So the Lord said, there are two things. Well, let's talk about the something that's just very, you know, obvious. You have to be born into this world. It says here, that which is born of the flesh is flesh. And that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Job chapter 38, verse 8. Let's take a look. Job chapter 38, verse 8. What's the Bible say? The Bible says, or who shut up the sea with doors? Here's water. When it break forth, as if it had issued out of the womb. That's why when pregnant, you know, women, when they are carrying their baby and they're about to deliver the baby, and what happens? The water breaks. Isn't it amazing how the Word of God is just full of, I mean, so accurate. Here, the Bible says here, as if it had issued out of the womb, water. It's the flesh world. When you're born into this world, you met the first requirement in order to enter the kingdom of God. So we're halfway there. We are halfway there. The problem is there's a second requirement. Go back to the book of John. There's a second requirement. It says here, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of... You notice it's capital S. It's capital S this time. It just tells you here that being born again is brought about when the Holy Spirit of God gets inside of that person. But first, let's take a look here. Verse 7, marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. And the Lord explains a little bit more what that spirit means. Because it says here, the wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth, so is everyone that is born of the Spirit. So in other words, the Spirit then, at least the spirit of man, has something to do with wind. See that? Has something to do with air. So go to the book of Genesis real quick. The book of Genesis. I told you we're going to have a little bit of Bible study here, but so fundamental to our Christian belief. Genesis chapter 2. Genesis chapter 2, verse 7. The Bible says, "And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life." You see that? I'm going to stop here for a little bit. Breathe into his nostrils the breath of life. So this part of man then, in the creation of man in the book of Genesis, came from God. When God himself breathed into the dust. So, let me find the ground color here real quick. So, water, flesh, dust, or ground. Okay. Anybody want to take a guess? What part of us this has become? What part of us? Dust and the ground. In the book of Genesis, which part of it? Is it our spirit, our soul, or our body? So this is our physical body. Okay? Is this the dust of the ground? But the one that gives life into this dust is this, the breath of God. It is the air that comes from God. See that? Henceforth, we have a spirit. Now, in the book of Genesis, take a look at it again, verse 7. This act of creation of man, something happened when God mixed this, breathe into his nostrils the breath of life, and man formed something else. Another part, which is, and man became a living soul. Right there. Genesis chapter 2, verse 7. One of the questions I was asked the other day was this: "Whoa, Brother George, you mean to say soul and spirit are two different things? What do you think?" Yes. Spirit comes from God. And how do we know this? Look at Ezekiel chapter 37 real quick. Ezekiel chapter 37. Here's an event. It kind of explains a little bit how the breath of God works. Okay? 37. Ezekiel 37. That's after the book of Jeremiah. Okay? Ezekiel 37. All right. Let's start with verse 4. Or verse 3. "And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live?" So you have the element of this. the body element. Can these bones live and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord? Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall live. So it is the breath of God, the air, that makes you alive. Okay? Any questions at this point? It is the breath of God that makes you alive. And therefore you have a spirit. Having a body alone doesn't make you alive. You have to have the breath of God. But something happened with that breath. We're going to keep and save this for a little, you know, for later discussion. But something happened to this spirit that was once alive. Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. Okay, that's in the New Testament, Ephesians chapter 2. Then for some of you who are still in the Old Testament, in the book of Genesis, Genesis chapter 3. All right, so let's take a look here. With one hand, Ephesians chapter 2, the Bible says, and you have he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. You see that? That means you were dead. So which one died? Which one died? Let's go back to Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3. I'm going to hurry up here. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, had God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden. But of the tree of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God had said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. That's a misquotation of verse 17 of chapter 2. Verse 17 of chapter 2, which says, the Lord himself saying, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it, for in that day thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. And oh man, the first man, disobeyed God's words. They disobeyed God's command. And the moment they did it, the Lord promised, you shall surely die. So guess what? Anybody want to take a guess who's died? Yes. So in other words, man, thousands of years from the very beginning, has been walking around the face of the earth with a dead spirit. You see that? When man fell, the living spirit that came from God died the moment that he spake God. Because that's what God said, thou shalt surely die. So this man walked around with a dead spirit. And his body walked around 70, 80, 90 years old. So the question to Nicodemus, not the question, but a statement of the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God." Why?
How can you enter the kingdom of God if you're dead and you're dying? You see that?
Yes.
Soul is you. Soul is you. That's your individual you. When we say the word, I am saved.
Saved from what? Saved from going to hell. This soul, which is you, remember the rich man?
A rich man, he was accumulating a lot of wealth, a lot of goods. Okay? And the Lord said, "What shall a man profit if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul in hell?" You see that?
That means this soul, because of this condition, this part of man, his destiny is to go to his place or hell.
This you, man, became a living soul,
has been marching down to this place because of this condition. Dead, dying lives.
First Thessalonians say, chapter 5, Bible says, "Sanctify, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 23.
It is stating the fact that you and I are composed of three things. And that's exactly what it says. Body, soul, and spirit. Okay? Now,
go back to the book of John. Go back to the book of John. Go back to the book of John. Chapter 3 and verse 13 and 14. Bible says that no man had ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Why? That whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So, in other words, there is a need for the Lord Jesus Christ to be likened unto a serpent. You see that? And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Don't you find it interesting how the Lord has likened himself unto the serpent that Moses lifted up in the wilderness? Because he had to take the sins of the world, and he had to personify a serpent. See that? He had to liken himself unto a serpent. You know, when the Lord Jesus Christ was lifted up on the cross, he was lifted up on the cross, and God the Father looked at him as the personification of sin. That means he saw the sins of the entire world on the Lord Jesus Christ. You may say, whose sins? Your sins. And my sins. He had to do that. In order for the requirement of justice to be met. You know, as God being holy and righteous, there is no way you and I can have fellowship with God. But the Lord Jesus Christ met that requirement for us. It's only made possible through Christ. Simple truths that you and I are composed of these basic things. But these three basic things that we are composed of have problems that can only be solved by Jesus Christ. So when somebody asks you, what does it mean by being born again? I think you can say, biblically, you say, I was once dead. Now I am alive. I was once heading down through the grave and just rotting it. Maggots, I will have a new life. I was once heading down through this place called hell, prepared for the devil and his angels. But being born again means I am now going down. Nothing too complicated, I hope. I made it very simple. But you know, the same thing when Nicodemus approached Jesus Christ secretly. You know what the Lord Jesus Christ saw? He didn't see a ruler of the Jews. He didn't even see someone who's asking for tips how to, you know, promote his life even more. He saw a man in need. As he saw a man who's truly searching for truth. That's what the Lord Jesus Christ saw. That's exactly what Jesus Christ sees in each one of us. He sees our needs, whatever it is. He might see our need to be saved, our need to be re-energized for the Lord, what have you, or whatever problems we have in life, the Lord sees. Amen? Let's stand for prayer. With our heads bowed, our eyes closed, I was going to say, I apologize, I almost kind of belabored and prolonged this simple topic. But I think it's needful that we understand clearly how blessed we are. We have avoided a disaster Can you imagine? What if no one had spoken to you about Christ? Can you imagine if you had been born and living, had been living somewhere else where the Bible is not allowed to be preached? Have you thought about that? Oh, how we are blessed to have been born in this place or be living in this place where we have access to the words of God. So let me ask you this very, very important question. With no one looking around and no one peeking or anything like that, this is a question that needs to be settled between you and God. And you ought to be sure about this. The question is, are you born again? You know what? It doesn't matter who's actually standing beside you, it doesn't matter. This is an individual matter. It doesn't matter if it's your husband or your wife or your daughter, your son or your friend that could see or whatever it is. Those things are not going to matter, but the important thing is that you ought to be sure about your situation with God. So let me ask you one more time. Are you born again? That means, do you know for sure that your body is someday going to have a glorified body? That means if you die, that body is going to be changed into something more glorious. Or are you sure that your spirit is actually alive? And are you sure that your soul isn't going to hell, but rather going to heaven? Do you want to know? Do you want to be sure? And I can tell you right now, in a few seconds, that's all it takes. This is how you can be sure. Know that you are a sinner. You know that? You and I are sinners. You and I cannot be perfect on our own. Do you believe that? How many of you believe that? That we're sinners. Here's the other thing that you ought to realize and acknowledge. That the only one who can give you life is Jesus Christ. And what he has done for you and for me. And if you are going to acknowledge that and accept that fact, that is called faith, then you can be born again right where you're standing. Right where you're standing. With no one looking around, how about a show of hands? Say, Brother George, I am ready to receive Christ as my Savior because I don't want to take a chance. How many of you can raise your hand? Don't be proudful and say, Brother George, at this point, I am not sure that heaven is my home, but I want to be sure. And right now, I want to trust Jesus Christ as my Savior. Anybody? This is not something that you can just risk and gamble with your life. It's so important that you are sure. Just one more verse and we'll be close. I beg you, I plead with you, if you're not sure heaven is your home, get it settled today.
Say that even after we pray and close and say goodbyes and everything like that, if you still want to know how to be born again, you can come and speak to me or anyone here. Nothing to be ashamed about. This is something you need to be sure about. Amen. So let's be closing prayer. Heavenly Father, we bow before you this evening. Again, we thank you for allowing us, Lord, to look into your words, or how much treasure can be found in your words that would equip us, that would enable us to live for you, to grow in the knowledge of Christ. Lord God, I pray again, Lord, if there's anyone here who's still not sure, I pray that they would not end this day. They would not go to bed without making this sure. Again, for us Christians who are, I hope that this lesson has given us a little bit more understanding of body, soul, and spirit, and what it means to be born again. May these truths, Lord God, help us to be more excited for you. I pray that this would drive us to live for you, to tell others about Jesus Christ, and not to be short-sighted, but to look forward and look up, because there's much, much better that's about to come. Again, we thank you for this time. I ask that you bless each one now. Keep us safe as we go home. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.